This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Bug the Pod!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Well, you know, it's been a pretty boring week around Caps World. There's nothing really to talk about. Coach Dan's going to join us. Let's just go straight to Down on the Farm. How you doing, Coach?
I'm good, man. Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's just, you know, what's going on with the Hershey Bears? Because there's nothing in Caps World.
Let me tell you, Hershey right now, they're doing pretty well.
Yeah.
They won two in a row. Actually, I don't even know if it's in a row because I didn't go back that far. It's like they won two in the last week.
Oh, that's good. I mean, it's good. All right, well, that's the show, guys. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you
next
week.
Bye, everybody!
crazy time to be a Caps fan right now. The trade deadline has passed us, and we thought that it was going to be a pretty quiet trade deadline. And you had texted me and told me that we picked up Michael Roffel, who I think sounds like a potato chip. And I thought that was going to be the move. And we were like, okay. All right, well, you know, depth move, that's great. But
play
no.
Center.
Yeah, I mean.
We need
you know.
A guy who can play center. They only had to get rid of a fifth-round pick for a depth center. He's a free agent at the end of the season. Vegas. Philly's taking on, I think they're keeping 25% of his contract. So I actually really like that move. He can play anywhere along the forward line. So we're not necessarily going to have to shift Oshie around.
Right.
In the event someone goes down. So you have some depth there at the center spot as well as on the wings and can't really ask for more in a depth player who's likely playing every night, you know, third line or something like that. But it gives you flexibility, and I think that's what you need.
Sure. But the big news, I mean, came at like 3:30 is when the news broke, is that Jacob Vrana, Stanley Cup champion, everybody's favorite drunk Instagrammer, was going to be leaving D.C. and heading to Detroit with Richard Ponick. And I'm happy to see Ponick go. I think everybody is happy to see Ponick go. Nothing against the guy, but it definitely was not working out for him in D.C. But Jacob Vrana had a down year. Last year didn't look that great either. We've kind of heard that there's been some issues behind the bench as well for Jakub. But Jake the Snake leaving D.C., heading to Detroit. What do you think of this trade? What do you think about Vrana leaving? He's a young guy. I know you're not really happy about losing some of that youth, but what's your thoughts on this?
Well, there's a couple of different things and there's different ways to look at this trade. I definitely was more heated after seeing the trade than I was later on in the evening. And then later after learning about some other things regarding both Mantha and Vrana. You know, first, I like the fact that they were able to get out from under Ponick's cap hit. I mean,
sure.
To have that I think it was 2.75 as I try and bring up cap friendly. It was like 2.75 for two or three more seasons for a guy that's not producing for you. He's not a, you know, fourth line player, but you're playing him on the fourth line because he's not doing anything anywhere else for you. You need to be able to move on and find someone who's going to be able to produce. And so,
Connor Sheary and Daniel Sprong have kind of shown like,
well, they've outproduced him.
We can do better than this guy.
I mean, for some reason, the way you said that, I was like, that's mean.
It's true. But
I mean,
yeah.
It is true, though. I mean, I don't think they went into, like, Laviolette's office and were like, stop playing him, play us, we're better than him. Like, that's
right. They proved their value.
Yeah. Well said. They proved that they can produce in a way that Ponick was not. I mean, going back and looking, I mean, Ponick's not going to be on the roster anymore, so it'd be harder for me to find his stats. But Sprong's got 14 and 31. Sheary's got 19 and 40. That was better statistically than Ponick. And considering that Sprong is making for this season and next $725,000, and for this season, Sheary, he's making $735,000. There it is. And they actually just announced that Sheary, they signed him to a 2-year extension, $3 million total. So a cap hit of 1.5. I'll take that. For a depth winger who's played well. I kind of wish they waited a little longer, but he's played well this season, and he, you know, I'm okay with it. I don't think that's a deal that's necessarily going to come back and hurt them because it's not a ton of money. It's right. not like the Ponick deal where, which again, Ponick deal wasn't like a bad idea at the time. You were losing Brett Connolly and you needed someone that could come in and play on that third line and put a pucks in the net. And it just didn't work out. That happens. It's not, you know, it's not the end of the world. That's part of sports is you have these risks. You know, whenever you sign or trade for a guy, it's a risk. You know, we don't know if Raffle, we were talking about, is going to work out. We don't know if Sherry's going to work out, even though he's played well for one season. We've seen plenty of guys. Look at the now departed Jacob Vrana. Fantastic. We thought star in the making after winning the cup.
Yeah,
and then
absolutely.
The 2019 and the 2020 playoffs. Then again, a lot of the Caps players in the 2020 playoffs didn't show up. But 0 points in two straight playoffs. That is a massive problem.
Yeah.
And you're looking at that, and then you're looking at the quotes come out from McClellan in terms of, you know, Vrana was a bit frustrated. We've seen that he's been in the doghouse for Laviolette, you know, for a decent portion of the season. He got benched for two games. He was up in the press box watching.
Did you see Russian Machine put out an article about why Jacob Vrana was let go? And there, I did not notice that, but during the one game, I guess it was when Vrana came back, he scored the overtime winner of the game. And instead of celebrating with his teammates, he's staring off into the bench, kind of looking at Laviolette like, this is why you benched me. Look at what I can do. So obviously there was some tension there.
We've seen this happen. A new coach comes in, a player may not fit into the system he wants to play. It sounds like I was listening to the Caps podcast that like they do every day, which I'm forgetting the name of. Brandon, help me out.
Caps This Morning.
Thank you. Yeah. Actually, thank you for turning that, telling me about that podcast. Actually, I'm really enjoying that because it's really
solid
quick.
Podcast.
I can listen to it at work while, you know, bouncing off a couple of emails. It's great. Anyways.
Yeah. And John Walton, Ben Raby, top-notch talent right there on the mic.
It's great. It's great. If they want to bring us on board as well, I'm happy to do it. Anyways.
Yes, absolutely. John Walton, also an alumni of What the Puck as well.
That's true. We had him on the show.
Yeah.
So we'll have to surprise him and confuse him again at the play, rink formerly known as Kettler,
right?
At some point. So, anyways, going back to Vrana, he was a guy with a lot of talent, a lot of speed, but we talked about him being streaky all the time when he played. And I'm sad to see him go. And I talked about this a little bit on Twitter in terms of like there, and maybe you don't feel this way. Maybe it's just me. I'm sure there's other people. There's a bit of romanticism involved with a player that you've drafted and that has come up in the organization, and to see them go because they didn't fulfill whatever potential we as fans or the general manager, the coach had for them. I think that plays into part of why I was not happy with the trade necessarily. It wasn't that I wasn't happy with the trade. I wasn't happy with what we gave up. Like, I don't think we're getting Mantha without giving up Vrana. Like, I understand why Detroit was like, well, you have to give us someone younger. And I understand why we had to throw in at least a draft pick for them to take on Ponick. Because
right.
we're asking
that
them
was,
to
that
take...
That was a money move.
We're asking them to take on a mistake of ours. And not saying Ponick is a mistake himself, just bringing him into our organization. He just didn't fit,
right
as part of this lineup. So you're going to have to give up something to make that happen. And I'm fine with that. It was giving up the second, which is second in 2022, but giving up a first round pick bugged me. Vrana's a little younger, I think by like a year or maybe two.
Yeah, I was actually a little surprised where I saw Mantha. It's a big guy, but he's not that old. I think he's only 26. So
yes.
He's still like in his hockey prime right now. So I was a little surprised about that.
So here's the thing. Mantha was a little bit in a similar situation, I guess, to Vrana. Not, I don't know if he was frustrated, mind you, but he wasn't producing to what they had expected. They'd signed him to a big deal. I mean, he's still got 3 years left on his contract after this season with a cap hit of 5.7. So that's a lot of money. Dude needs, for a team that doesn't have a lot of cap space, dude needs to produce. But right. as I was kind of thinking more about it, you know, I'm like, well, you look at Ponick, he's at 2.75. Then you look at Vrana, he was at, I think, 3 and change. I don't remember exactly what the number was. But then he was also going to be a restricted free agent after this season. So you needed to re-sign him.
And he was going to have arbitration rights. He was going to have, So
he was,
well,
I don't know much what it helped him in considering his lack of production. But you're looking at probably somewhere between 3.75 and 5 that he was going to get. Now, you combine that number with Ponick, it's actually more money than Mantha's making. And you combine Mantha potentially with one of these guys like a Sprong or a Sherry, it probably evens itself out. I haven't done the math. We don't know what Vrana is going to be getting next year necessarily. We can look at that later. But there's also other moves the Caps can make to kind of free up some cap space. And you got the Seattle draft coming up, which see what happens there in terms of who they're going to lose, which how much whatever money that is that's going to come off their books depending on who they pick up. The only part I really don't like about the trade is the romanticism aspect of losing Vrana because he came up, he was drafted, he came up through the organization, and there's a history there.
Sure.
And when Detroit comes back to DC next season, you know, there's going to have, I'm sure they're going to have a lovely video and a tribute to him because he won the cup and then he went crazy. And the draft pick bothered me. Not the second round pick annoyed me. Like, if you're some people have talked about, I think Tariq El-Bashir of The Athletic may have said this, or maybe it was John Walton. They were talking about how you got to look at this as two different trades. It's Raffle and a second round pick Ponick and a second round pick to get his cap, his money off the books. Which, all right, you probably should get something in return, but it's not. It's actually one trade. And then Vrana on a first for Mantha, I feel like, is overpayment. But if they feel like he's going to be able to produce, he's not much older. Yeah, he's making more money at the moment.
Right.
But we don't know what Vrana is going to get. Probably won't be quite as much. But Mantha can play on the right or the left. He can produce, and he's a big guy. Now, he doesn't play like Tom Wilson in terms of, like, hitting everybody. But he's quick. He takes up a lot of space. He's not going to win in a foot race necessarily, but he can get himself around the ice very quickly. We saw in the game against the Flyers, he's got a goal and assist in his debut.
Yeah.
You know?
But it is against a team like the Flyers who...
They are struggling right now.
Judging from that game against the Capitals on Tuesday night, it definitely looks as if they have given up already on this season.
Well, I don't know. They still think they have a shot. I mean, the Caps went out and destroyed Boston, who's currently in a playoff spot. So,
right.
You know, it's one game at the moment. But if you look at Mantha, I mean, he's the 49th Capital in history to make his debut and get on the score sheet. Yeah, I feel like all the time we bring these guys in and it takes them a while to start producing. But right away, he got into it. But now you're playing with Nick Backstrom and TJ Oshie, you're going to get your opportunities to score. Like, that's just going to happen. So
imagine going from Detroit, a team that is very young and sort of they're already talking about rebuilding their rebuild. And you leave that organization to go play with Nick Backstrom, TJ Oshie, Alex Ovechkin, one of the best ever, is on your team. I mean, even though you are a professional and you're a hockey player, you're like, dude, I this is like island in the sun type of stuff. Like, this is a dream come true.
I mean, it's not bad. You know, he's going to get out. I think he's on the second power play unit, or at least he was practicing on the second power play unit. I mean, he's going to get his opportunities to score. He's going to get his opportunities to produce. I like the deal in terms of bringing him in. I think on Monday night, I was a little frustrated because of, like I've said a couple times, the romanticism aspect of the Vrana move. But then also, I didn't love losing a first round pick. And I know that this upcoming draft class is kind of a crapshoot. After probably the first few guys because of COVID. So the younger players haven't been playing. So you don't have opportunities to go out and see them play. So it makes it even harder to know if you're really going to get someone good or not. But on the other side of that is that they don't have a lot of like top line. Like, we need to start refilling this prospect pool. And you can't do that when you keep trading away everybody, because at some point Ovechkin is going to retire. Backstrom is going to retire. Something's going to happen where you're going to need to start. Oshie's older than all these. Oh, no, he's not. He's older than Backstrom, younger than Ovechkin. Like, these are older guys. They're in their mid to getting close to later in their 30s. You got Eller at 31. Haglund, well, he's probably not coming back after next season. Actually, he's got a couple years left on his deal. Anyways, he's 32. Raffle's at the end of his deal. But, like, Carlson's 31. Eventually, you're going to have to look at either a retool or a rebuild. And to do that, you need draft picks. So either you have a fire sale, which is not ideal, or you somehow keep a number of your draft picks, or you got it. Your scouting department's got to be really freaking good to bring in guys. Because right now, it's Connor McMichael. It's Alexiev. I don't really know how many other guys I'm looking at going, okay, these are guys who are going to be playing on this roster. Oh, you have LaPerriere, but we don't really know a lot about him at this point. But I don't really know anyone else that's going to come in and really make an impact, potentially, other than those three.
Now, I've said this on the show before. I think Brian McClellan, I don't think he cares about draft picks. I don't think he cares about the farm teams or building his own talent. He wants to go out and he wants to win now. He wants players that have proven they can play at an NHL level in the NHL.
Well, the window's closing.
We said that when they the window was closed, and then they won the Stanley Cup. So I mean, it's true.
No, I mean,
it was a 2 year plan. And
yeah, well, that's true.
And yeah, it was a 2 year plan, and then the dream team got split up, and then that 2018 season was supposed to be, you know, all right, we'll figure it out later, and then they won the cup. I mean, crazier things have happened, but Brian McClellan, he likes these. He's going the reverse of the NHL right now. The NHL is young, it's fast, it's smaller players, and yeah, we did draft a pretty small guy in this past draft in 2020, but he likes big, he likes bulky, he likes, I mean, look at the people that he has traded for or brought into this organization. I mean, just look at the team right now. I know he's not the guy that drafted him, but you got Alex Ovechkin, who is a big body. You've got Tom Wilson, another big guy. He brought in Brendan Dillon, who is huge. Zdeno Chara, who is a giant. And now you have Mantha, who is 6'5", and what, like 260, something like that. This is a big team. This is a team that should be able to play defense and shut down plays. Are they going to be able to get in a foot race with the other team? No. But they'll be able to knock you on your butt and hopefully go pretty far in the playoffs. Up until this trade deadline, I thought that the Capitals were going to be a first round exit, like they always have been. But seeing Mantha for that one game, you know, gave me a little bit more hope. I mean, the last couple games, the last three or so, the Capitals have, you know, they scored what, 8-1 against Boston, 6-1 against Philly. I mean, they're scoring goals, and it's coming from a bunch of different players. They're scoring on the power play, which is also very important. Laviolette has set his defense. He's very happy with the defense and their production. And we know a lot of these question marks are going away. We know that we're going with the young kids for the goaltenders. You know, we've got VTech and we've got Sammy here, and they're the guys we're going to be going for and going with. So a lot of those question marks are now being like, all right, this is the plan. This is what we're doing. And we're getting bigger and bulkier even more with the signing of Mantha. So I think Brian McClellan has a plan. I think Laviolette has a plan, and they're going full throttle. They want to win now.
Well, they have to, because they're core players, and Ovechkin, Backstrom, and those guys, they're older.
Yeah.
So they like, when I talk about the window closing, their careers are closing at some point in the relative near future. And so they have to, if they want to win with these guys, they got to do it now. But I just question the cost that might be down the line, where, you know, the Capitals might be the, not joke, but kind of the bottom of the NHL.
Yeah.
And not looking at necessarily a future, a bright future, because they don't have really any prospects in the system. Now, the tricky part is to, you know, you have to draft well to be able to start replenishing the guys that you've got. So you've got McMichael coming along at some point, you know, probably looking at the NHL next season. You've got the young kid Hendricks coming in, hopefully in the next couple seasons. Alexiev maybe getting a shot next year or the year after. And you know, you want to keep building those areas. Instead of having to do a full rebuild, do you do a retool? And we'll see what that looks like when a guy like an Ovechkin and Backstrom move on. And I would imagine by that point, you're looking at Kuznetsov and McMichael being year one and two in terms of your centers. And not necessarily in that order. Like, I don't know who's going to be the first line. Doesn't matter.
And Ovechkin's contract coming up, definitely another reason why Varana was sent off to Detroit. Because, like you said, he was going to be a restricted free agent. He was going to have arbitration rights. And, like, let's face it, they don't have the cash to support Varana when they've got superstar Ovechkin looking for a new contract. So they had to get some of that money ready for Ovi, because that's his spot. But you didn't like them losing the draft picks, and you already brought it up, and I kind of want to talk about that now. The next couple years for this draft are going to be a little wonky, because kids are missing out on full seasons due to COVID. They're traveling around the world trying to find leagues. So they're not playing up against the best talent that they could. We brought up that Team USA game from last week, and I watched it. That was a terrible game. Like, I know these are high school kids, so I'm not, and I don't know how to skate.
Yeah, way
so
to
I
pick
have,
on the children, Brandon.
I have no reason to judge them. However, it's like, here are the best prospects in the U.S. We're going to put them all together on a team. they did not do well against this elite team that was already established. You know, it was a very sloppy game, but good experience for them for the future. But the next couple drafts, you're going to have a lot of question marks because you've got a bunch of talent scouts who cannot talent scout. You've got a bunch of them who can't travel. You got a bunch of them who leagues have been shut down, so they couldn't, like, they're getting reels. You know, they're getting cut together tapes, and if people are cutting together tapes, they're not showing you the bad stuff during the game. They're showing you all the good stuff. It's the highlight reel. So you're not getting the full aspect of that. So there's a good chance a lot of these first rounders in the next 2-3, maybe even up to 5 years, all go bust, you know, as their career moves along, because there's just things, you know, you don't do a job for a year, you're going to lose a step, and you develop into a, like, I don't want to say lazier player, but your skills just aren't as sharp as they could be because you're out of practice. Like, you're going to need an extra year to get your skills back to where they should be because you missed it. And look, we're into what? How many months now of COVID? Is this 14 months? You know, it's, you know, the next time the next season rolls around for the fall sports, are they going to be back to the way they were, even with the vaccines out there? Who knows? You know, the Johnson & Johnson vaccine has been stopped right now. Is that going to slow down people getting their vaccines? I mean, there's real world issues are definitely coming into the fun sports of hockey and everything else going on in the world. But we're going to be feeling the impacts of COVID for years to come, years and years and years. So is that draft still as important as it was merely a year ago?
I mean, I think if anything, it just means that the scouting staff have a harder job because they're going to have to get creative. They're going to have to find ways to you know, get information on players and young players that they want to potentially bring into the organization. You're going to have to get creative. They're going to have to figure out.
Yeah, but are those players going to be up to par of what a first-round draft pick should be at that point in his life? He's a first-round draft pick for a reason.
It will be comparative to the other players, though. That's the thing. Like, when you're looking at the draft, you're comparing players to the other people around them, right? So if they've all taken a step back, it depends on, you know, you might have a guy that's, you know, working harder during COVID to up his game, maybe by himself. But if you go and you look at, you know, private workouts or whatever the case may be, someone may be able to make themselves look better, and maybe they have actually become better as a result versus someone who, yeah, they had a lot of talent and were beating up, you know, other players in the league they were playing in, but now they've slacked off because they think, oh, well, I'm a first round pick. Definitely nothing I have to really worry about. Now they're going to fall. And do you even want a guy like that, you know, playing on your team in the NHL who thinks that he only, you know, during certain days, certain games, he can half-ass it? You know, I want the guy who's going to work harder when he doesn't know how to make himself better. I want that guy.
Right.
You know, he can make himself better versus the guy who's good but doesn't care.
I guess that's something that you kind of start with as a talent scout at this point. What did you do on your COVID vacation? You know, it's did you sit at home and play Xbox all day, or were you out there? Were you watching tape? Were you still in the gym? Did you, like you said, get a private instructor that you could do workouts over Zoom? Like, I guess that's kind of the thing you're going to have to start conversations with now.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be about connections to an extent, and it's really going to be about the scouting staff and the general managers kind of knowing players better. I mean, you look at something like the NFL and how much, and given to a bad extent for some of them, but like the amount of information that a scouting staff and a front office brings in on a player before they draft them. I think the scouting staff for teams are just going to have to work harder. And to an extent, it's going to be more of a crapshoot because you just don't know exactly what you're going to get. Now, in the hockey, it's really after like the first three guys, you really don't know what you're going to get. So right. I don't think it makes a dramatic difference going forward in terms of, you know, but I still, with a team that is got a depleted farm system and a depleted prospect pool, it hurts to lose a first round pick when it's not a like for like trade, but it's closer than, you know, it was. So that bothers me a bit, but we'll see what happens. It could be that there's not really that many great players and they wouldn't have gotten anybody all that great to begin with. I kind of wish they brought in at least another draft pick with Mantha instead of just nothing. I mean, not nothing. They got Anthony Mantha. Right. Or as the cap said when he scored, Anthony Manthony. I don't know if you caught that on their Twitter. And I was like, you guys are silly. But you know what? I'm sad to see Verona go. You know, thank you for helping us win the cup in 2018. But I think it was the right thing for him and his career. I think Detroit, you know, they've got a really good general manager in Stevie Y, and we'll see what happens. They have some good players. They just need to keep building, and hopefully things work out for him there, except when he's playing in D.C. And I hope, but based on what he's done so far, it looks like Mantha's working out pretty good.
Yeah.
Because he got a goal and assist his first game.
He's definitely
and
looking
he's
like
19
he's
feet tall.
Yeah. How do you think he feels being 6'5 and not the tallest guy in the room?
You got to walk in if you're him. And you're like, oh, come on. Or is he coming in the room and he's like, yeah, just like everybody else.
I don't know if you caught the press conference of Jacob Verana in Detroit. He does not seem happy to be there. He does not see he was frustrated in D.C. I think he's a little bit more frustrated now, but I mean, I wish Jacob Verana all the best in Detroit, and if he goes somewhere else, I hope he flourishes there as well. This has got to be hard for him. I mean, like you said, he was drafted. He came up in the organization. He was with Hershey for a little bit, won a cup with DC. I'm sure he like you said, it's a little romanticized of how he started his career. But let's hope that everything goes well for Jacob in the future.
No, I like the dude. He's a bit streaky, and I wish he played better. But I think maybe this system and just didn't work for him, and it's sad to see him go, but that's the reality of sports. You know, it's a business to an extent, and there was a business aspect to this move in terms of moving him on and needing to get out from under Ponik's contract. And you have to hope the Mantha thing works, because if it doesn't, that's an even bigger problem than Ponik. So that's, you know, almost $6 million that you're sitting there cash strapped, and doesn't seem like the cap ceiling is going anywhere anytime soon. It's probably staying put. And you have a certain gentleman by the name of Alex Ovechkin you need to re-sign. Not to mention, you have to figure out what you're doing with Samsonov.
Yeah, that's the thing. Some Detroit fans came over to the Caps Reddit, and they did say, you know, he was a good player when he wasn't injured. Some of them were saying he was a little injury prone. So that worries me a little bit. But like you said, he's 26. He's young. He's still got a lot of years left of hockey to play. So we'll see what's happening. But another trade that happened, but the Caps traded Jonas Siegenthaler, another young guy leaving the organization. He went to New Jersey. What do you think of this drop? I mean, this kind of seems like a money dump.
I think they definitely did it. I wouldn't call it necessarily a money dump. I think it was more... They definitely wanted to get out from under his... They needed the money to be able to make the Mantha move, I would imagine. I mean, I think I looked at it, the Caps, or I read that the Caps have $0 in cap space right now. Like, literally zero, which, you know, is what it is. But it's after trade deadline, so all you're doing now is kind of shifting guys around. But I think Siegenthaler wanted to play. I think that he probably wasn't overly thrilled. It doesn't sound like he asked for a trade, but it sounds like they thought that might be the best thing for him. And I think the reality of Laviolette being essentially in love with his top six defensemen, he's going to play them every game.
Right.
And he's a young guy. He needs to play. It goes back to my argument before about the draft picks. Like, I hate that we've just lost a young defenseman that has potential that, you know, could be very good on the PK and very good, you know, when he's playing. So I'm a little disappointed in that aspect, but I can understand why they did it. Now, they did get a conditional third-round pick in 2021. Now, this is a bit weird. So, basically, I think they're going to end up getting New Jersey's third-round pick because they got the pick that they got was originally Arizona's, but it was a stipulation in that if Taylor Hall signed with Arizona before the 2021 draft, well, I guess it could still be the case. So, basically, if Taylor Hall signs with Arizona before the 2021 draft, the Caps will get New Jersey's third-round pick, and New Jersey gets Arizona second. But, so if Hall signs with anybody else, then the Caps get Arizona's third-round pick, if that makes sense.
Okay. Is this like... It's
so
like
we're getting a third-round...
Old...
Well, no, because I don't know how Arizona's doing. Actually, I have no idea how Arizona's doing right now. 43 points, New Jersey's at third... Yeah, so I would rather have New Jersey's, to be honest, but I don't think Hall's going to go back to Arizona. So my guess is we end up with Arizona's third-round pick, and yeah. So we have an extra third-round pick. I'd rather that one have been sent to Detroit than our first and second, but whatever, can't change that now. But no, I'm disappointed to lose a young defense, and we do have Alexiev and Martin Favari kind of in the minors waiting for their turns, and I have to imagine that they're both going to get opportunities pretty soon. So at some point, you have too many young defensemen. If you can get some, I kind of wish they got a little more for Siegenthaler, but he hasn't been playing, so it's not like his stock has been going up. Right. So having him up in the press box certainly hurt anything you were going to get in a trade for him. So they probably got, I would imagine, the best they could considering the circumstances of the season and the reality of his trade value right now. And, you know, it is what it is. He gets to go play. He's buddies with Nico Hischier, is my understanding. So it worked out well for him, and hopefully he plays well as, you know, another guy kind of like Vrana. Doesn't have quite that same, as much of an impact as Vrana had, especially in 2018, but still sad to see him go.
Yeah. And in other Caps news, Henrik Lundqvist officially will not be returning this season, which is very unfortunate. He went to the doctors, and they pretty much said there was still inflammation around his heart, where they had some of the surgery, and it would actually be months before he even can consider making a return to the NHL. So the chances of Henrik Lundqvist coming back and playing professionally, they seem to be getting slimmer and slimmer as the days go by. We still hope he can do what is best for him and his family, but it will not be playing for the Capitals this season.
Yeah, it seemed like that was always kind of a really outside shot of having that happen, especially considering the fact that Vanecek and Samsonov have been playing really well and battling to be the number one goalie. I think that's a main reason as to why they didn't go out and acquire a goalie at the deadline, also because they didn't have any cap space. But yeah, I think for him, it's got to be about his health, and then we go into next season. And depending on what happens in the Seattle expansion draft and the fact that Samsonov is a restricted free agent after this season, does Lundqvist re-sign in Washington for next year to be the backup or starter? I don't know. Probably the backup at that point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Vitek has definitely shown his merit, and I think
who are you starting right now if the playoffs start tomorrow?
I start Vitek.
I agree
no
with
doubt.
You. I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
He's earned it, and I feel like he's just played a little bit better than Samsonov right now. So the question is, who are you protecting in the upcoming expansion draft? Or, better question, who are you trading before so you don't have to worry about protecting one of them?
See that? I don't know, but you see,
well, you
the
have to
thing
worry
that
about protecting one of them. My comment didn't actually make sense now that I think about it. It was more like you don't have to worry about protecting both of them because you get something for them. Because to lose Vanecek or Samsonov for nothing is
that would suck.
That would be bad.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you'd protect Vitek right now just because he has played so well.
All right, so you you trade Samsonov.
I would
Ryan
leave him
is
open.
Gonna be mad at you.
I know. I would leave it open because I mean, look at some of the early points of the games. In that first period, Sammy takes a little bit more time than Vitek to settle down in the net. He gets flustered very easy. If there is a rush towards the net at the beginning of the game within the first 10 minutes, Sammy, he kind of panics a little bit. And Vitek seems very comfortable in the net no matter what. But both are very talented. I'm very happy to have them both in net. But Sammy right now, he worked with Holtby last year, but this is his sophomore season. But you can tell he's still got some of those like rookie-ish jitters playing at the NHL level. He's shown that he can make a bad play if he panics. And I think Vitek has just been a little bit more calm, a little bit more controlled than Sammy.
Yeah, I think I agree with that to an extent. I mean, I think that Samsonov is still working himself back into the sort of level he was at before before the shutdown last year, because that's when he then got hurt screwing around or whatever he was doing on an ATV, and he ended up hurting, I think, his neck or his shoulders or something.
His groin. Wasn't it his groin?
I thought it was his upper body.
Was his neck? I don't know.
Either way, be smarter on ATV, everybody.
Yeah.
But
or you're a hockey player getting paid lots of money, don't ride on an ATV.
Well, no, just be smart. I mean, it's if you're going down like a path or a road or something, it's very easy.
Yeah, his Instagram was like him in a river.
No, good point. That's a little more dangerous. Like, I did that in Western Canada. I went on an ATV ride through, like, the mountains and stuff. That was really cool. And it was safe. Except we went through, I think, two... But it was, like, a stream kind of thing. Like, it wasn't, like, a big river.
But if you break your leg or something, you can still go to work. Like, he can't.
It's harder. Well, he can go. He's not going to be producing.
He's just hanging out.
Either way. I think I agree with you that Vanacek's starting, and I think if the season ended today, and I know I have to protect one of those guys, am I moving Samsonov, or am I moving Vanacek, knowing he's probably got the higher trade value right now because of his production, knowing Samsonov is on paper has the higher what's the word I'm looking for here? Prospect value? No, that's not it. What's the word I'm looking for? Potential. That's what I'm looking for. I knew someone would start with a P.
Yeah.
Samsonov still potentially has the higher potential for as a goalie. So do you hang on to that? Or do you try and trade him knowing you have that and get a top-line player or a top-line prospect or a high draft pick? I'd rather get that prospect, to be honest. But... I don't know. McClellan's certainly got an interesting situation to deal with after the season, because it's that or he makes the stupid trade. Well, they're not a first-round pick anymore, but he makes that trade like McPhee was getting from people with Vegas, where he was like, all right, you send me a first-round pick and I won't take this guy. Which I don't want them to do.
That seems like so illegal, doesn't it? It's like blackmailing people. Hey, give me your draft pick or I'm taking your star.
I mean, well, star-ish. Because the stars are all going to be protected. But you're looking at, you know, I mean, if we're going to look at it, and it isn't really on our notes, but we'll talk about it in terms of, like, who they're going to protect. Now with Vrana, I have to imagine you're going to protect Mantha instead. So it doesn't really make that much of a difference. Somebody at one point had them protecting Ponik, and I was like, are you nuts? But that was earlier in the season before it completely went downhill. But what, 7 forwards, 3 defensemen, 1 goalie. Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Oshie, Mantha, Wilson, Eller. So I expose as Hagelin, Hathaway, 7, 3, and 1.
I'm not positive.
I think that's right. So Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Oshie, Mantha, Wilson, Eller. I'm exposing Hagelin, Hathaway, Raffle, although he's a free agent, so it might not count. Dowd, Sheary, Sprong. I'm okay with that. I don't think McMichael counts. And I don't think anyone else in the minors counts. And then I'm protecting Carlson. Ooh. Who do you protect besides Carlson on the defense? Probably, I guess they're probably going to protect Orlov. And Schultz would be my guess. And then the question is, which goalie? So McClellan's got some problems to deal with.
Yeah, I don't know. This is going to be rough.
That's
I mean, obvious. I don't know if you leave Kuzi open. You know, there's potential there. He hasn't had the greatest season.
Now, he's turned it around now, though.
Yeah, I will agree with that.
He's actually – it's a little different than Vrana, right? Like, Kuznetsov buckled down and got to work versus Vrana. It sounds like it didn't – he didn't gel with Laviolette, and that's going to happen. You know, somebody's not going to work with the new coach potentially. So, Kuznetsov's turned it around a bit. I don't know. That's gonna be an interesting problem for the offseason.
Do they protect or do they still have to protect Chara even though it's a 1 year deal, or is that
no? I think he'll be a free agent.
He's a free agent at that point, mm-hmm. So they're not gonna re-sign him until after this. After the
I don't know when it is compared to draft, like, the NHL draft.
Yeah, so I'm kind of. I think it. Oh, I don't know, because that's kind of intriguing to see what they do. Because like, do you wait and not sign any of these unrestricted free agents? So they're just, you don't have to protect them.
Here,
I don't
you
know.
Talk. I'm going to try and look all that stuff up.
I don't know. Because, I mean, like I said, I've been very happy with Zdena Chara. But, you know, we were talking about Caps this morning, and you were talking about Ben Raby and John Walton. John Walton actually had a great idea for Zdena Chara. And this was before the trade deadline. He's like, you got to get Trevor Van Riemsdyk and Jonas Siegenthaler in the lineup, and you're up against Buffalo, a team that has really struggled and not done well. Why don't you sit the big guy? This was last Friday. why don't you sit the big guy and let him have a night off? He's 44 years old. Let him chill for a night and let these young guys come in against a team that's struggling anyway. So that way they feel like they're a part of the fight. So if you do have to go to them because somebody goes down or gets hurt, why don't you bring them in so they feel like they're a part of this team? Because right now they've been sitting on the sidelines for so long.
Yeah, that is a problem and is a concern that I'd like to see. Now, is part of it you're not doing that because you're in a dogfight to end up the top team in the East? I mean, Caps are currently in first, though they've played one more game than the Islanders, but they're at 60 points. Islanders are at 58. Pittsburgh's at 56. Boston's at 50. But Boston's played three less games. So say they win those three to make it up the difference, they're at 56 points. Pittsburgh has played one less game, so they'd be at 58. And the Islanders have played one less game, they're at 58, so they'd be at 60. So you need, I mean, You obviously you're not going to win out. I mean, that's absurd to think that would be possible, but you got to do something close to that because everybody else is freaking winning right now. I mean, the Islanders have won their streak. They're on a one game winning at the moment. Pittsburgh's on a three game winning streak. Pittsburgh's starting to pick up speed here, you know? So these are, you can't afford.
That's why I said you could face the Islanders in the first round. With the way the Penguins
that's
have
true.
Been playing.
That is true.
As fully could happen.
Yeah. I mean, the Rangers and the Flyers aren't necessarily out of it yet. Probably soon. But they're not out of it yet. You know, we don't know what the seeding's going to be at this point. Going back real quick to Seattle and the draft and free agency. So the Seattle draft, from what I can tell from a quick Google search, Seattle draft is July 21st. NHL
draft.
It's
my birthday.
Oh, nice. A nice little present, delayed present for you, which Caps players leaving. Two days later on July 23rd and the 24th, according to Elliot Friedman of Sportsnet, that is the NHL draft. And then free agency will start on, I believe, the 28th of July. So there's a nice, like, 7 days of hockey moves that are likely going to happen. So you're looking at Seattle, then the NHL draft, then free agency. So I think Char is either way not getting, even if he's somehow technically still on this roster, because he's not technically a free agent at that point, he's still a member of the Capitals until free agency starts, they're not going to protect him.
Right.
You know, Van Riemsdyk, even though they just signed him to a new deal, he's not getting protected. I don't think Jensen is. I don't think Kempney is. I think it's Carlson, Orlov, and either Schultz or Dillon.
Oh, yeah, Kempney. Remember Kempney?
He's been skating. We'll have to see if he makes a comeback.
Yeah, did we ever figure out who on Twitter was banging the boards with their stick?
No.
We figured out it wasn't Ovi in that video. I can't
figure it
out.
I mean, it made complete sense to be Ovechkin.
Yeah, why wouldn't it be? He would do something like that.
Yeah, because he's crazy. Yeah. But crazy scores goals because he's now second all-time in NHL power play goals. He passed Brett Hull.
Solid segue.
Thank you. Also, I found this actually pretty interesting. So I followed someone retweeted it, but I ended up following them. But TSN Stats Center, which is actually pretty fun to follow on Twitter. Ovechkin's 20th goal of the season against Boston, which gives him 16 straight 20-goal seasons. That's 16 out of 16, because he only played 16 seasons in his career. There's only three other players in NHL history that have had a longer streak to start their career. Marcel Dion went 17, Jager went 17, and Matt Sundin went 17. I have to imagine Ovechkin's going to pass that.
I would think so as well, absolutely.
Let's see, what other bits of news do we have? Backstrom has the fourth most assists for a Swedish-born player in NHL history. I don't remember what the number was, but he's way behind Nick Lidstrom at number one. But then again, so is like everybody else. I don't know if he's going to be able to catch him, but that would be pretty cool. And then speaking of Nicky B, he'll be playing in his 1,000th NHL game on Thursday.
Nice.
And then all the Caps players will be wearing number 19 during warm-up. So I thought that was pretty cool. And
I think I was at the game where Mike Knuble hit his 1,000th game. And everybody in attendance got pins. And they gave him a silver stick.
I remember that. I wasn't at that game, but yeah, I remember that. I was at the Mike Gartner retirement. Number retirement game. Anyways, last little bit of Caps news is that they announced that fans will actually be able to return to Capital One Arena on April 27th against the Islanders. Now, the arena will be at 10% capacity, so you know those tickets are going to be expensive.
I mean, they were expensive when you could do full capacity. 10%?
That's true.
Jeez.
Bye-bye, money in your wallet. You're not going to have any more because it's going to be so pricey. But, yeah, that's pretty cool to be able to have fans back in the stands. I know the players have been tweeting stuff about being excited about that opportunity. So it'll be cool.
Well, is that it for what's going on in Caps World?
If it's not, we didn't write it down, so it doesn't count.
This might be our longest Caps World segment we've ever done. Well, this is like almost the length of the show.
All right, guys, thanks. It was nice seeing you. Talk to you later.
All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Verana, we'll miss you. Best of luck in Detroit, and welcome.
Thanks, buddy.
Welcome, Anthony Mantha. Oh, you know what? Actually, there's...
I might go buy his shirt from Fanatics now because you know it's going to be on sale.
That's true. A lot of people are saying Anthony Mantha, we should call him Ant-Man. I don't know if that's going to catch on or not.
Oh, that's good. I like that. 70% off sale on Fanatics.
Yeah, bro. There's nothing. There's nothing good. I look.
That's usually true. Yeah. Everything is in size small.
Yeah. I will have to say this, though, before we get out of Caps World. We do want to send our thoughts and our prayers to Joe B. and his family. It was announced during the game yesterday that Joe B. lost his mom. And they posted some pictures of her, and Joe B. talked a little bit about her, and it's never easy to lose a loved one. So, Joe B., just know that we're thinking about you, and best of luck to your family, and I know this is a very difficult time. We appreciate all the hard work that you do, especially during this this rough time in your life, but our thoughts and prayers are with Joe B. and his family. All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. Coach Dan, what's going on down on the farm?
I have no idea. I'm playing around on Fnatic still.
There's nothing there. Nothing good.
That's not true. They have an Ovechkin Funko. I already have it, but that's besides the point.
You can buy me some pins. They got some pins for like $4. I'll take those.
I'll think about it. Anyways, let's start in Hershey, where the Bears went 2-0 in the past week with wins over Binghamton and Wilkes-Barre Scranton. Hey, can they just pick one of the cities? Either be the Wilkes-Barre Penguins or the Scranton Penguins.
So here's a funny story about WWE.
This has something to do with The Office, isn't it?
No, nothing to do with The Office, I swear to you. This has something to do with wrestling. But John Cena was at a house show, and he got hurt, so they had to cancel one of his televised matches. And Vince McMahon said that they were not allowed to say Wilkes-Barre Scranton because he thought that made it sound like a minuscule city, that it was two names. So they could only say, you got hurt in Pennsylvania, because it sounded bigger. So the fact that the town has two names, that even annoyed Vince McMahon.
Can they just pick one? It's just lazy at this point. Yeah. I mean, that's what
the Penguins jersey, though, was in The Office. Dwight gave it to Michael on his birthday, but everyone knows that.
And now it settled down, and now I will never watch the show. Anyways, the Bears are currently first in the North Division with 30 points, three up on second-placed Lehigh Valley, although the Bears have played three more games. Now, last week we talked about how Hershey were going to be having three games. Turns out that the game against Wilkes-Barre Scranton from this past Saturday was canceled after the ice conditions became unplayable. Due to travel and safety issues, the AHL determined the game would not be made up. Now, they're going to be back at it on Saturday at the Giants Center against Binghamton. The game I was supposed to be playing tonight on Wednesday got canceled, as well as the game on Sunday. I believe both of those are supposed to be against Lehigh Valley. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes.
All right. So, yeah, things are getting interesting in the AHL. Let's head down to South Carolina, where the Stingrays went 1-0-1 with a shootout win over Wheeling. They're currently fifth in the Eastern Division with 48 points. 18 back of first place Florida, but they're only six back of third place Greenville. So they got a nice little winning streak. Get back into this thing. Now they're back at it tonight, that being Wednesday at the North Charleston Coliseum against Orlando. Then they'll do it again with Orlando on Friday before welcoming Jacksonville on Saturday and Sunday. That's what's going on down on the farm.
All right. Well, go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, here we go. We're going around the NHL. Yes, the Capitals were quite busy with the trade deadline. They weren't the only team to do it, so there's a lot of stuff going on around the NHL. Coach Dan, catch us up. What's happening around the NHL?
Let's start in Vancouver, where the Canucks will be restarting their season on Friday. They missed 7 games, which have been rescheduled. Now, their season will now end on May 16th. There are also reports that current Canuck and former Capital Jay Beagle has a long-term career-threatening injury.
Career-threatening?
That I saw. I don't know if it's true, but that's what I saw.
That would be terrible.
Would be the more accurate way of describing that. Yeah, that's pretty unfortunate. Now, a couple players got new deals recently, and where better to start than Vancouver? Because that's where they've been this whole time. They signed Tanner Pearson to a 3-year, $9.75 million extension, comes to a cap hit of $3.25. LA signed forward Alex Iafallo to a 4-year, $16 million deal, cap hit of $4 million. And Philly signed forward Scott Laughton to a 5-year, $15 million deal, cap hit of $3 million. Now, Brandon, let's get into the trade deadline.
Let's do this.
All right. Now, full disclosure. Some of these deals happened before the actual deadline. All right, let me get a deep breath. This is going to be a minute. All right, strap in. Here we go. Chicago sent defenseman Lucas Carlson and center Lucas Walmark to Florida for former Capital Brett Connolly, defenseman Riley Stillman, forward Hedrick Borkstrom. He has a fun name. And a 7th-round pick in 2021. Columbus sent forward Riley Nash to Toronto for a 2022 7th-round pick. Buffalo sent defenseman Brandon Montour to Florida for a 2021 3rd-round pick. San Jose sent goalie Devin Dubnyk to Colorado for a defenseman Greg Patarin and a 2021 5th-round pick. Now, in what I'm going to assume was a 3-team trade, I get all this trade information from TSN, their trade tracker, which is great, but this was confusing because they broke it out. But Tampa got defenseman David Savard from Detroit and defenseman Brian Lashoff from Columbus. Detroit got a 2021 4th-round pick, while Columbus got a 2021 1st-round pick and a 2022 3rd-round pick. I don't care who they came from, who they're going to. Too confusing. Moving on. Detroit also sent defenseman John Merrill to Montreal for forward Hayden Verbeek and a 2021 5th-rounder. Columbus sent forward Nick Foligno to Toronto, who the Caps were actually in on at one point. They sent him to Toronto for a 2021 1st and a 2022 4th-round pick. Toronto wasn't done there as they brought in forward Stefan Nosen from San Jose for a 2021 4th-round pick. And the Maple Leafs continued making moves as they brought in goalie David Rittich from Calgary for a 2022 3rd-round pick. Boston brought in defenseman Mike Riley from Ottawa for a 2022 3rd-round pick. Everybody's trading 2022 3rd-round picks, it seems. It's ridiculous. Then they one-upped themselves by bringing in forward Taylor Hall and Curtis Lazar from Buffalo for a 2021 2nd-round pick and forward Anders Bjork. Buffalo got robbed. Pittsburgh brought in forward Jeff Carter for a conditional 2022 3rd-round pick. Bet you saw that coming. And a 2023 4th-round pick. New Jersey sent defenseman Dmitry Kulikov to Edmonton for a 2022 conditional draft pick. Didn't say what round. Not sure what that means. Maybe someone just forgot to click something. Vegas, you know, they had to make some news as they brought in forward Matthias Janmark and a 2022 5th-round pick from Chicago for a 2021 2nd-round pick and a 2022 3rd-round pick. Chicago continued their clear out as they sent forward Carl Soderberg to Colorado for forwards Ryan Rolston and forward Josh Dickinson. Carolina sent defenseman Hayden Fleury to Anaheim for defenseman Yanni Hakanpaa and a 2022 6th-round pick. Brandon wasn't sure either. Vancouver sent defenseman Jordy Benn to Winnipeg for a 2021 6th-round pick. And finally, Chicago helped Vancouver collect more former Capitals as they sent defenseman Madison Bowie and a 2021 5th-round pick for a 2021 4th-round pick. That is all of the trades. Now, we wouldn't be done. We're not done yet, Brandon, as we have to go over some suspension news.
All right.
Yeah.
Never happens.
Now, the first, yeah, right? The first. Well, we haven't had any while, and that's because I kept forgetting to check. So this first one is from actually back on March 31st, as former Capital and current Vegas forward Chandler Stephenson was suspended for 3 games for elbowing L.A. defenseman Tobias Bjornfort. Colorado defenseman Jacob McDonald was suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head of Minnesota forward Ryan Hartman. And finally, Nashville forward Michael McCarron was suspended for 2 games for an illegal check to the head of Tampa Bay's Yanni Gourde. That's the news from the past week in the NHL.
It's interesting listening to you go over everything. And the Capitals, I mean, they had a part in a lot of trades or suspensions or whatever. It's kind of crazy. I did not know that Madison Bally was going to Vancouver. So Vancouver really is like, you know, D.C. West.
The Vancouver Capitals.
That's what it seems like, yeah. Chandler
Washington Canucks. No, that doesn't work.
Yeah. Chandler Stephenson, what are you doing elbowing people in the head? Come on, dude.
And why are you not in Vegas already?
Yeah. Come on.
And when's Verona going to Vegas? That's where he plays. I'm an idiot. Wow. Why are you not in Vancouver? And what? When's Verona getting traded to the Pacific Northwest? Although I guess it could be Seattle pretty soon.
That's true. That's true.
No, I have to imagine they brought him in as part of their future.
I would hope so. Yeah. Stanley Cup champion. I mean, and he's a young guy. Why wouldn't you want that?
I don't know. But yeah, that's it, man.
All right. Well, if you'd like to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related stuff. Like, why does Fanatics not already have the Verona stuff on sale? As well as other things that may come up in the wide world of sports, Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, Washington Football Team, as well as some other European football that I happen to follow.
What did Good Morning Football say about the Washington Football Team? That they did they get a guy from Chile? It's like the first Chilean player, and they didn't know, like, because it's from like a country that they didn't know, like, isn't normally from, like, did he have to enter the draft and you just get him? And the DC team was like, no, we're signing him, he's ours.
I have no idea.
I'm gonna see if I can look that up.
I wasn't paying that close attention, but so that's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach. And but hey, while Brandon's looking up to see if what he just said is true or if he dreamt it, go ahead.
He's a Chilean basketball star, Sammy Reyes. And he had a really good pro day, and Washington was like,
oh,
yep,
he was like,
he's ours.
This past year, he was, during COVID, he's been driving for like DoorDash.
Something like that, yeah.
I think that's what I read. Anyways, when you want to find out about more weird news related to the Washington Capitals, go ahead and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all sorts of other interesting things related to the Washington Capitals, Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, the Hershey Cubs. I don't know if they have anything going on their website. It's pretty much the same as it's been this entire time.
They got their first sponsor. I know that.
They what?
They got their first sponsor for the team.
Is it Hershey's Chocolate?
It is Geico.
Oh. Man, I don't have my insurance with them. Anyways, that's following us on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, we were just talking football and the Washington Football Team. By chance, is there, if they happen to be a fan of another team... unfortunately, a fan of another team
that plays in Maryland,
that plays in the great state of Maryland. Is there a podcast they should listen to?
That's right. With the NFL draft coming up in 2 short weeks, the call will be making its triumphant return at some point before the draft, so we can discuss what we think the team will need. So be on the lookout for that. You can subscribe to the call wherever you subscribe to this show. Yes, Coach Dan, with his hand raised.
Question: why do the draft hats this year look stupid?
I see. I dig them. I kind of like them. I usually am not a fan of the draft hats.
Yeah, I feel like the draft hats are always kind of stupid, but this one in particular is stupid.
I kind of dig it. It looks like the front, like a Ford emblem. That's what it looked like. Like it belongs on a car. Which, does anybody know anything about the Jeep Renegade? I'm thinking about buying one. Do you like it? Tell me.
I'll do some research for you while you wrap it up.
All right. Yeah, so you can check out The Call wherever you listen to this podcast. Now, this podcast, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So 3 games until we talk again. On Thursday, April 15th, the Capitals stay in D.C. They are up against Buffalo. That game is at 7 o'clock, and you can watch that on NBC Sports Washington. And then on Saturday, the Caps take a quick trip to Philly, right up 95. That game is at 12:30 in the afternoon. Ooh, interesting. And you can watch that on the NHL Network, NBC Sports, or NBC Sports Washington. And then on Sunday, back-to-back games, the Caps go up to Boston, up against the Bruins. That is a noon start. So 2 afternoon games. Yevgeny Kuznetsov will not be happy with this lineup. And that one is on broadcast television. You can watch that on NBC. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Interesting. We have Buffalo, Philly, and Boston. 3 very different teams in this lineup for a week. So hopefully the Capitals can come away with 3 wins. That's what they got to do. Take these points away from Philly and Boston, who are on the heels looking for that last playoff spot. And yeah, this should be a good series of games. So that is it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Is that gel?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
Say what?
What?
Say the.
The.
Say,
the.
Say puck. Say, that doesn't sound good. Say, what the puck?
What the puck?
He's got the hiccups, which makes this even funnier. Okay, say bye-bye, Brandon.
Bye-bye, Brandon.
Bye-bye.
Say, what the puck?
Buck.
No, it still sounds inappropriate.
Bo-bo-buck.
It looks like a young buck.
Bye.
Say, hockey.
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 Let's go, Caps.
Go, Caps.
Yeah.